Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. So this is Monk. This week I want to mention just into like 50 pages of a book I mentioned a few shows ago, The Delaware Indians, A History by C.A. Westlager, actually called the Lenni Lenape. And a fascinating bit that I find, because I've been thinking about it recently in terms of where change can happen and where things might go, and with regard to consciousness, and that is that everything has become so globalized as far as, you know, social media and online, and it's wonderful you can communicate with somebody around the world, but there's like a sort of sense of a generic solution for everything on a global level. And with the recent slowing down of the supply chains and in general, I started thinking about how, like, what if you didn't have the social media or various communications? What if we didn't have that it's like a form of validation that, you know, you say something or you do something and someone else validates it on the social media. But what if that wasn't around, or wasn't around as much, and people didn't rely on that? Then they would have to pay more attention to their local community. And then if you're taking care of things in your local community, then it wouldn't, like, how much would it matter? And what could you do about something going on somewhere else? Like, it seems like we're so busy, and certainly the U.S. is the globo cop, as I've heard, I think C.J. Hopkins, a writer, referred to, like, putting its freaking military-industrial complex nose in other countries' business as if that's just the normal thing to do. It's just so ludicrous. So I think some of that flavor gets into people's consciousness with all the globalization and technology. We think we have this right to just do and say things that affect everybody around the world without having a clue about how other people live. And so the fascinating part is that this book mentions that there were supposedly three bands or three groupings of the Lenape peoples, that I don't know how to pronounce it, but the Munsee are well known, the Unami and the Unala Chittigo. But in this book by Westlager, he says that was actually a geographical category. And here's the part that spurred me to do this episode. Furthermore, he referred to a great council of the nation consisting of head chiefs to whom the Delaware village chiefs were subordinate. And this too is erroneous. While they lived in the Delaware Valley, authority was decentralized among the various bands, and each group acted independently. There was no great council of authoritarian chiefs who were kept posted on political developments of the nation. While they lived in the Delaware Valley, authority was decentralized among the various bands, and each group acted independently. There was no great council of authoritarian chiefs who were kept posted on political developments of the, quote, nation. So I find that just, yeah, that's fascinating. A testament to how it was thousands, you know, how hundreds or thousands of years ago, and how it may get to be. Because, you know, once in a while I think about that. If the grid goes down, what are you going to do? A lot of people would freak out, especially generations brought up that are hooked to the technology. But there's a way of living that is not attached to the technology. Sure, it's helpful. I'm using it right now to talk to you. But the attachment to it is neglecting the nurturing of local and you know, communications and activities and this and that. So again, a lot of what you read is erroneous. And as I mentioned before in the epistemology, how do you know what you know? Well, I've read it in books. There's three branches of the Lenape, but then here comes another book that I read and it dispels that. So it really takes some persistence, I find, to kind of get to the truth And even I made the mistake in my 2003 epic poem book, Singing an Epic of Peace, a Fifth World Story Poem, of which the donations go, this particular book, any of the sales, the donations go to help the Lakota Nation. Sometimes, typically, it goes to the Simply Smiles organization, which is building housing and that big word, infrastructure, to help the younger generations on the reservation. And so I put it in, I did a lot of research back then in 2001, 2003 for my book, when I realized that over half of the native, the names of the state, the U.S. states, come from native names. And so, you know, I did a lot of research. I didn't just go on a website and find the little one-liner explanations. I did a lot of research and also sometimes put in what I would find two or seven explanations for the name. So it's not a definitive thing. And obviously it's not the best way to know is actually talking to the actual native people, because they know their names better than anyone or any book is going to say. And maybe a book or website is going to say accurately, but it's highly skeptical there. But anyway, so I consider my book still valid because it's a conversation starter, and it reminds people, the gist is to remind people of the origins. So what I did as part of an epic poem was I wrote in poetic form, in rhyming quatrains, information and history of each of the 50 states. So I'm going to read this first one. And again, I too mentioned the three branches. So, you know, that's why you see sometimes a book is like a revised edition or, you know, another printing where they correct mistakes. So, you know, that's a book. People think a book, that's, as I put in my recent book, that's one of the themes of my book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, is that this thing about, especially religions, and people think the book is laid down in fact and a law, but things change and times change. So the information in a book is invariably something that was accurate at one time is not going to be accurate at another time. So that's not a justification for making mistakes or not doing thorough research. But it is to say that you can't always rely on a book as the law of the land, because the book is, you know, a product of human effort, and humans are prone to mistakes as well as times change. So here's the first poem in this section, and this is the first state, 1787, Delaware, the grandfathers. The very first state, Delaware, from Delaware Bay and River, named for Sir Thomas West, Lord Delawar. That's the actual name, Lord Delawar, W-A-R-R. The very first state, Delaware, named for Delaware Bay and River, named for Sir Thomas West, Lord Delaware, but history adapted, is the real Indian giver. Delaware Indians is the English name for a tribe here long before Europeans' arrival. With dugout canoes and bark-covered longhouses, Lenne Lenape, the people, genuine, common, real river people, well managed their own survival. The Delaware River rolled through their lands, what are now parts of Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, Ohio, Delaware, Ontario, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Iowa, New York, and New Jersey, speaking different dialects of Algonquin, Lenni Lenape, the Ulanichitgo, Unami, and Munsee. Unalachitgo, people near the ocean, totem turkey. Unami, people downriver, totem turtle. Munsee, people of the stony country, totem wolf, all have overcome a hurdle. How telling of the first state's name, a misnomer of the people's territory, attributed to a namesake, lord of the war, nothing personal, sir, and all that stealthy glory. You could stop right here and still know the gist of the following verses of historical rhyme, but the names and the people and their pathways worth knowing are listed below if you find the time. The Lenape, now primarily in Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Canada, after 130 years of moving westward and northward again and again, also known as the original people, grandfather, and men of men. The Lenape creation myth, reportedly depicted with etched pictographs on barks and sticks picked up on earth near flowing waters, creation ever burning on spiritual wicks. also currently in Kansas, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Ontario, covering a range with a warbling sound akin to the little birds called vireo. To numerous tribes, they are the elders, worth learning of if you bother. For if given the chance, would you not care to know the story of your dear grandfather? So that gets into the origins of the names of the 50 states. And then speaking of something mentioned in there, there was research that when I looked it up, it was not conclusive. So I let it be. But there's something called the Wallum Olum, which is supposedly these original drawings of pictures done by the Lenape Indians and almost like historical etchings on rocks and stuff. But a Lenape friend mentioned to me that that is bogus. So there again, a whole chapter in this book, which would be considered bogus as far as conclusive information. So again, read what you read, think about it, read with an open mind. The closer you can talk to somebody who's in the know or connected with the source of the information, the better you accurate you'll be. So thanks for listening. Have a good one.